As you make your way back to your seats, I want us to dive into a New Testament passage today that's always been a favorite of mine. And it is a powerful challenge to believers. And I will tell you that up front, that if you're here today and you're not a believer, that this letter was written to believers. And this passage in particular and this whole message is for believers. And this is what I pray for you who are outside of Christ, but you're here today, so there must be a desire in you to know God and to know His truth and to know the joy of a relationship with Him, is I just want you to look at it, I want you to listen to it, and maybe this sounds like something that you want. If there's this earnest desire in you, I just pray that today will be the day that you get introduced to Jesus and you become a companion of Christ. And that's kind of the theme today. You know, there is something about companionship in life, isn't there? It's really a grace gift of God to have friends. I mean, when you have something to celebrate, something exciting happens, it's great to be able to get together with other people and actually celebrate that event, whatever happened. And if you have heartbreak and you're having struggles and you're going through pain, it is really good to have someone in whom you can find some consolation, some encouragement. And so companionship is a phenomenal gift of God, be it in a family, in friends, people at work, people around you. It is just good to have somebody to go to. And the best one to go to is God Himself. And that's what's so amazing about the story of Jesus and the revelation of God and the person of Jesus and what He's shown us about Himself. God, the Creator God, the great God, the one who made it all, who reigns above it all, who is King over all, that God desires to be in relationship with us and have companionship with us. And that is phenomenal. That's amazing when you start thinking about it. But that's who Jesus is. That's who God is. And that's what He wants. And this passage talks about that. And so I want us to look at it. And I want us to think along these lines. Walking with Christ. How do I walk with Christ? And listen to these few verses from Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, down through verse 10. And Paul writes, "Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord." And what's he talking about there? He's talking about our salvation. He says, all right, just as you receive Christ in your salvation, He came into your heart, forgave your sins, established Himself as the Lord of your life. He reigns and rules in you. Just as you received Him on the day you received Him as Christ the Lord, here's what I want you to do. So walk in Him. So walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding with thanksgiving. And you say, why do I need all that? Well, here's why. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. In other words, he's saying, you know, there's a whole lot of ideas out there, and there are a lot of people talking out there, and everyone's telling everyone how to live their life. And people are selling a lot of false goods out there. And he said, you know what? If you will walk in Christ, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith, just as you were taught, you will abound with thanksgiving. And you won't be susceptible to all of these things that are pressing in on us. All these messages that we're hearing, we won't be tossed here and there like waves of the wind. You'll be solid and you'll stand strong and in your relationship with God. Now listen to what he tells us about this relationship that we have with Jesus. He says, for in Him, the one you have this relationship with, in Him, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. You fathom that? God Himself in Jesus fully dwells bodily, and you have a relationship with Him. And you have been filled in Him who is the head of all rule and all authority. In other words, he said, the one who rules above everything, that is the king, the leader, the authority, the sovereign God now dwells in you. So walk in Him, walk in Him, walk in Him. And just such an encouragement for us to walk in Him. You say, what does that mean? Well, it's used actually this exact form of this word, this translated walk in our English New Testament, means, it's translated 9 times in the New Testament, and it means basically to live. Means to live. Think about it this way. As you live in your house, he's saying, as you live in your house, so live in Jesus. You know, there's a lot of places you can go, a lot of things that you can do, but you like to live at home. I like to be at home. If someone asks you, where do you live? You give your address because that's your home. That's where you live. That's where life happens for you. And he said, I want you to understand something. Where life happens for you ought to be in Christ. Now, I thought about this whole process, and you start thinking, okay, well, what if I do that? If I walk in Him, if I live in Christ, what's going to be the result? What's going to be the benefit of that? And the really two that He gives us in this passage, He says, rooted and built up in Him. This is a natural consequence of walking, living in Christ, rooted and built up in Him. Rooted basically means to be settled. It means to be firmly grounded or firmly settled. And then He says, built up. And what that means is to be strengthened. Strengthened. And so if you'll walk in Christ, if you'll live in Christ every day, I mean, in other words, that's where you stay, that's where you live, that's where you remain. You're in Christ every day. You're just living for Him. You're devoted to Him. You're dedicated to Him. You know what will happen? You'll become rooted. You'll become firmly settled in Christ, strong in the faith. You'll be built up stronger and stronger and stronger every day. You'll be established in the faith. And you know what will happen as a result of all that? You'll be abounding with thankfulness day in and day out. That will be the result of a walk with Christ. I started thinking what it would be an illustration for us to understand how this works and why this is so important for us. And the most maybe basic illustration is that of a tree. A tree that you go to the nursery and you buy and you take to your house and you want to plant it. And so you get there and you dig this great big hole, you know, two times the size of the root ball, which is often a pain in red clay, but you're digging through it and you dig this big hole and you get some good dirt and you put in the hole and you mix it all together and then you rip off all of that stuff that's around the root ball and you get it all just right. You roll it over in the hole, you stand it up, and you prop it up with some stakes. In fact, there's probably a picture up there. Is there a picture up there? Can you see that? Is there one up there yet? Good. You see that? That's a tree. I mean, we're everything's in the ground. I mean, it lives in the ground. Now, that ground is for us. That ground is Christ. And what are you saying is, just as you've received Christ Jesus, we've been planted in Him in our salvation. Now He says, I want you to be rooted, and I want you to be built up. I want you to be strengthened so that you can be established in the faith. Now think about that for a second. If you plant that tree and you water that tree and you do all the stuff you're supposed to do, what's going to happen over time to that tree? It's going to grow. It's going to get stronger. It's going to get stronger and stronger. Its roots are going to grow deeper. Pretty soon, you're not going to have to water the tree every day because it's going to dig down and get water. It's going to live off the water that's already in the ground. And if it's a fruit tree, it's going to bear fruit. If it's just supposed to bear leaves, it's going to bear leaves. The root, the trunk's going to get stronger. The leaves and the limbs are going to get larger. And it's just going to be a beautiful tree in your yard. And you're going to say, man, look at how this thing grew. And after a while, you're going to say, you know what? It doesn't need the stakes anymore. And you're going to cut the string. And you're going to pull the stakes up. And you say, you know, this tree is strong enough to stand because it is rooted in the ground. That's exactly the picture that He has in mind for us who are believers. He said, just as you received Christ in your life as your Savior, now walk in Him, live in Him, just like the tree in the ground, you live in Christ, rooted, man, digging deep, built up, becoming strong, bearing fruit, established in the faith, just as you were taught, and guess what? You're going to abound with thanksgiving. It is going to be so awesome. You're going to say, this is what life is really all about. This is the way life ought to be. Because I'm living it in Jesus. Now, the key word here is this word walk. And when we think of walk, we think of movement, don't we? We think of taking a trip, and that sometimes can get confusing, especially when we equate this word to live. Because the word live actually means to remain somewhere. It's to stay somewhere. Where do you live? I live at this address. I live in this house. This is where I live. This is where I stay. It's not the idea of a walk, as it is. It's being planted. This is where I live. Now, what He's telling us is, you need to stay in Christ. You need to live in Christ. And that's the only way you can be rooted. That's the only way you're going to be built up. That's the only way you're going to be established in the faith. That's the only way that you're going to abound with thanksgiving. Because if you don't, you're going to have struggles. Now, I love to plant stuff. I really do. I mean, I like it. I don't know what it is about the whole thing of taking something from a nursery, you know, buying it, bringing it home real small, and you dig down the soil and you make all the soil right and you plant it and you water it and you fertilize it and it starts growing. I mean, I love it when that happens. Now, I hate it when it dies, you know, but I love it when that happens. There's just something, you know, satisfying about that. People come over and say, oh, man, you know, those plants look great. You're like, yeah, They do look great. I did that, you know, but you didn't really do anything. But you know, you there's some sense of pride there. But in our house, we have a lot of things that live, not just people and not just plants, but we have dogs. Okay, we have some dogs at our house. And we have a boxer named Bodie. And I'm going to put his picture up here so you can see him. Now, Bodie loves to garden as well. And I learned that. I went to the nursery because we had some plants that actually got a disease and died. And so I went to the nursery and got some replacement plants, and I went and I planted them in the backyard. And you know, I was like, okay, good. Now this thing's going to look balanced because these three over here need to match these three over here. So I got these three planted, and I was like, this is good. And so I'm watering, I'm Miracle-Grow these things. You know, I'm trying to make sure they get rooted good. And one night, we're at the house. I don't remember what we were doing, but we let Bodie outside in the backyard and forgot about him. And when you let a boxer get bored, he gets destructive. And so I didn't think anything about it. It was already dark. We let Bodie back in. Got up the next morning. I went to let him out, and all three of those bushes were laying in the grass, root ball and all. I mean, the whole tree out of the ground, in the grass. And I'm like, oh, man, you know. Well, I shouldn't have, you know, blaming me. I shouldn't have left him out there too long. So I went out there and replanted him, you know, dug the hole again, put it in the ground again, watered again. I got to save these plants. You know, they're going to die. I told my wife, I said, you know, if they get out here too long, they're going to die. So that night when we got home, we said, okay, we're going to let Bodie out. We're going to watch him. So we let him go out, brought him back inside. Mm-mm, not this time, big boy. About 9 o'clock, it was time for him to go out again before he went to bed. So we let him out. It was dark. Got up the next morning, went to let him out. There are my three stinking trees again in the grass. I'm like, you were not out there 5 minutes. What in the world did you do? He must have ran straight to the trees and said, oh, look, it's a game. And he just pulled them out of the ground and drug them. You know what? Only one of those three trees made it. The others died. You know why? Because they wouldn't stay. They wouldn't stay in the hole. Now listen, I want you to understand something. We don't have dogs dragging us away from Christ. But one thing we need to learn when we look at this image of walk, we don't need to think about movement, that I'm going to move all around Jesus, just get close to him, just hang out with him, but I'm not going to get in him. No, he's saying, you know what? Get in the hole, get in Jesus, and stay there. If you'll stay there, you will be rooted, you'll be built up, you'll become strong, you'll be established in the faith, and you know what? You will abound with thanksgiving. You will go, wow, this is what life is all about. And you know, we all want that, don't we? Don't we? Yeah. You know, we don't want to walk around, life stinks, you know. I'm laying out here on the grass, baking in the sun. My roots are drying up. We don't want that. We want to be in the ground. We want to be in Jesus, and we want to be thankful. Now, here's the question. How does that happen? How do we do that? How do we live in him? How do we walk in Christ? What I want to give you today is I want to give you six things that I think are important in our life if we're going to remain in Jesus. All right, six things that have to be a characteristic in our life as believers if we're going to remain in Jesus. All right, that's the bottom line of the message today. And we're just going to focus on that little phrase, walk in him. Walk in him, live in him, rooted and built up in him. So the first thing is this. If you're going to walk through life with Jesus, if you're going to be rooted and planted in him, if you're going to live in him, if you're going to remain in him, the first thing you've got to have is humility. That's step one, humility. And I'm not going to give you the true, maybe the strictest definition, but I want to give you a true definition, and this is the definition. Humility means that you know you need someone else in your life. That's humility. You know, oftentimes when we think of someone that's arrogant or prideful, we think that they lack humility. And we think that someone that brags all the time, that's an overt boaster, you know, you think, oh, I can't stand that guy. You know, he needs a good dose of humility. But that's not the only kind of person that needs humility. You see, there are a lot of us that need humility. What humility says is this. Humility says, I can't live by myself. I must have Jesus. That's humility. You see, there are a lot of us that have pride, and to be honest with you, it's one of the seven deadly sins mentioned in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 and following. And it's just deadly, because what it says is, you know what, God, I don't really need you anymore. I have received Christ Jesus, but I'm climbing out of the hole and I'm going for the grass because I'm okay. I'm a loner. I'm a man. I'm a woman. I've got it under control. You know what? That's pride, and that kills. You will not be rooted. You will not be built up. You'll not be established in the faith, and you will not abound with thanksgiving if that's your life. You've got to have humility. James 4:10, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he'll lift you up. Micah chapter 6, verse 8, what does he tell us? This is what the Lord requires of you, to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk, what? Humbly with your God. Pretty awesome, isn't it? Now listen to this, Isaiah 57:15. This is a great passage, and it basically tells us that God walks with those who are humble. Listen to what he says. For thus says the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. This is what he says. I dwell in the high and holy place. And also, you get that? I'm dwelling in the high and holy place. Why? Because he's God and there is no other. And then he says, and also with who? With him who is of a contrite and lowly spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly, to revive the heart of the contrite. What's he talking about? He's talking about somebody who has humility. You come to God with a humble spirit. God, I need you. I have to have you every day. You know what? God says, I dwell with you. I hang with you. Pretty awesome. Second thing we've got to have is this sense of wonder. A sense of wonder. Basically what that is just this overwhelming fear and amazement at the person of God. A sense of wonder. And you know what, as Christians, especially when we get familiar with the Word and familiar with church things, I think we lose that sometimes. We hear somebody talking about Jesus, we hear somebody talking about God, and we go, oh, okay, okay, Jesus, okay, we'll go get God. And we just give this casual reflection on the person of God. We kind of need to get back to the time when Moses was called out by God and he stands before this bush that's burning and not consumed, and God tells him, you know what you need to do? You need to take off your shoes because the place in which you're standing is holy. Why? Because of the presence of God. And he turned his face because he was afraid to look at God. He was amazed. He was in wonder and in awe before God. You know what? If you're going to walk in Christ, if you're going to live in Christ, if you're going to be rooted and built up, if you're going to be established in the faith, you're going to abound with things. If all that's going to happen, you know what? You just have to have this sense of amazement and wonder that God even listens, that God loves you, that the God who made it all actually wants a relationship with you. He lives in you. Does that not blow anybody else's mind? It blows mine. It's a sense of wonder. Third thing, step three, commitment. This one's real practical. We just got to have that sense of commitment to this, because you know what? Here's the thing. For that tree to stay in the hole, it's got to want to stay there. Okay? You see, I'm looking forward to the day that those trees, those little bushes, they've grown deep in their roots. And Bodhi the boxer busts out of the back door and runs for the trees in the dark and says, oh, it's still a game. And he pulls and he pulls and he pulls, but he cannot pull the plant out of the ground. I'm waiting for that. Listen, if you're gonna stay in Christ, if you're going to live in Christ, you know what? You've got to have a sense of commitment. You've got to be like Daniel when the edict came down that said you cannot bow down before any god other than the king in a pagan land, and he went to his room just like he'd always done, and three times a day he prayed to God. That's commitment. Now, I want to tell you about what does that look like. Let me give you two things. One, it looks like this. It's an undivided heart. Undivided heart that says, I have one real love in life, and that is Jesus. I mean, there's no place for another God in my life. Just commitment says, I have an undivided heart, one love for the one true God, the King of glory. The second thing commitment looks like is this. It's an undivided attention. It's one life. One life. In other words, there's no time like the present to spend with Jesus. And my life is devoted. It's reserved for him. It's reserved for him. Now, here's what happens to us. We run out of time before we start our walk with Jesus in a typical day because we're running so fast. So I want to give you four practical helps that kind of help you get this on track. Number one is this. You need to walk before you run. In other words, you need to prioritize your life and stick to it. In other words, this is what we do. We wake up in the morning and we've already got an agenda and it's already rolling. I mean, we got more. Some of you are thinking about school starting a week from tomorrow and you're freaking out. You say, I got 14 trips to Target and Walmart before then. And you know, I got to get this, and I got to get this, and I got to get it. And we got to start getting up earlier because, you know what, they got to get to school. And if we're going to get to school on time, man, we got to get up early, and then we're going to have the traffic to deal with. And so we're already thinking, and some of you are having a panic attack right now, you know, because that's what happens. We're running, and what we do is we run before we walk. We run through life doing all this stuff, and we say, maybe at the end of the day, I'll have time for my walk with Jesus. But that's not the way it works, is it? We walk before we run. You need to start the day with Jesus and let him own the whole day. Second thing, take out the trash time. And what I mean by that is, where do you waste time? Get rid of this waste. You say, well, I don't have time for Jesus. I really don't have time to spend time with him, and I'm not building. You know what? It's like that tree not getting watered every day. When it gets planted, if you don't water it, the thing's going to die. And you're going to dry up, and you're not going to be strong, and you're not going to be rooted, and you're not going to be thankful. None of that's going to happen if you're not walking with Jesus. So you know what? One way is just to get rid of wasting time. And to think about this for a second, we all waste time, don't we? You say, oh, Pastor, listen, you don't know our life, and we got all these kids, and man, we don't waste time. We've got stuff going on. I was thinking about it in my own life. Last Wednesday night, in our Wednesday night class, we're doing this Mayberry series, and we're watching an episode of Mayberry, and then we're talking about biblical ramifications that are seen in the Mayberry series. And we watched one of my favorites this last week, all right? We watched one of my favorites, which means I have watched that one episode at least 15 times in my life. That's 7.5 hours. I mean, it didn't take me long to get the episode. Okay, Mayberry is not that complicated, all right? But I've watched it an extra 14 times. And I could tell you everything about it. I could tell you what the Darlings are going to play. I can tell you what, you know, Ernest T. Bass is going to say. I can tell you the whole thing. And you know what? That's a waste of time, isn't it? Is Ernest T. Bass going to take me to heaven? No. Because Barney says he's a nut. Yeah? He's not taking me to heaven. The Darlings' music's great, but they're not singing that in heaven. Dooley. They're not playing Dooley in heaven. All right? That's a waste of time. All of us waste time, so figure out where it is, get rid of it. Third thing, upscale your downtime. In other words, make the most of your time when you get that little break, make the most of it. If it's a downtime at work, don't just sit there and surf the computer, all right? One thing that I've gotten recently is a Facebook account. That was nuts. One, because I don't know what I'm doing, you know. Somebody posts something on your wall, and I'm like, it says wall to wall to this. I'm like, I don't know, you know, show me a wall, write on it, you know. But I don't know what to do on there. But I found this out. You can waste hours on Facebook. Okay? You can. And some of you do. Okay? Because if you're a friend of mine, when you ever do something to you notice this, when you do something to your board, it posts it, it lets me know when I open up mine. And I'll open up mine, and all these people are church members. Most of these people that are friends of mine are church members, and it's like this long list. So-and-so has changed their picture 14 times in the last 24 hours. I'm like, what in the world are you doing? Take out the trash. Get rid of that. Prioritize your time. Your downtime, let's do something more with it than look at Facebook for 6 hours, okay? Rest during timeouts. And this is really important. You know, there are times when you need to get some rest. You need to shut the computer off, shut the TV off, and go to bed. So that you can think straight, you can act straight, you can live straight, and you can honor Jesus. Now, step four. Step four is desire. Step four is desire. Listen carefully. In the scripture, when the word desire is used, probably, I'm just guessing, but I'm guessing 93% of the time, 94% of the time, it's used to refer to something bad, some evil desire, fleshly desire in us that takes us away from Christ. But the times it's used to emphasize something good really tells us something about ourselves and what we need if we're going to live in Christ. You've got to have this desire, a bottom line rooted desire that, man, you know what? I want to live for Jesus. I've got this desire in me that I really want to be the person that God made me to be. I want to accomplish the mission for which he put me here. And the bottom line is I want to be rooted, established in the faith, and I want to abound with thanksgiving. I really want to have that kind of life. How is that going to happen? I've got to have a desire for it. It's got to start there. And in Psalm 73, Asaph is writing, and he's talking about how he's gotten off track. He became desirous and envious of wicked men. He was comparing his life with theirs, and their life was a little better than his, and so he got off track. He just admits that in Psalm 73. But later in the psalm, he says something that really catches my attention, and I hope it catches yours. Psalm 73, verse 23 through 26. Listen to this. Nevertheless, he says, I am continually with you. You hold my right hand, talking to God. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? There is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. You know what? If you're going to live in that, if you're going to stay in that hole, if you're going to be rooted and built up in Christ, you've got to have a desire to live there. Step five, stillness. Stillness. Psalm 46, real quick. Awesome psalm. You need to go read it sometime. The psalmist is writing. He says, man, there is all kind of noise going on in my life. The whole earth is trembling. The mountains are crumbling and falling off into the heart of the sea. The oceans are roaring and foaming. All this is going, my life is coming apart here. In the midst of that, he says, God is my refuge and my help. He says, God is my fortress. He's my stronghold. And after this confession, at the end of the psalm, the psalmist, it's like God just turns the psalm upside down and says, okay, you've been talking, now I want to talk. And this is what he says in verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I'll be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted in all the earth. What's he saying? He's saying, you've got all this noise going on. The mountains are crumbling. They're falling off in the sea. The ocean is roaring and foaming. The whole earth is trembling. And he says, if you'll just stop in all of that, you'll know that I still hold the world in my hand because I am still God. Stillness. You ever gone to a Mexican restaurant? Have you? I'm going there today. Love Mexican food. Have you ever been in a Mexican restaurant where they're playing the music just a little bit too loud? You ever been in one of those? First off, I don't know what they're saying, okay? Every song reminds me of a song at the fair, okay, that's done in English. It kind of has the same rhythm and beat and all that stuff. Second thing that's a problem, though, you can't hear anybody. You're talking, and you can't hear the people you're talking to. I mean, you're just... And after a while, you're yelling. And then somebody walks back and tells the manager, hey, it's way too loud. And in the midst of your conversation, somebody hits the stop button. And you're going, hey, what are you doing this afternoon? And you can hear them fine in the stillness. That's the way it is with God. You know what? In the busyness of our lives and all of that stuff, God is still talking. You open this and start reading, he's talking. You start reading this book, God's talking. And what he's saying is, you know what? Hush all the noise for a minute and just listen. and hear what I have to say. Two things happen when we do that. Number one, we see clearer. See things clearer. Life becomes focused. You know, there's a few times in my life where I've gone to a movie and gotten there late, and it was like, you know, a good movie that's coming out and everybody wants to see it. And I've had to sit on the front row, okay? Now, that may be great when you're six, but when you're 47, that's torture, all right? First, you get a crick in your neck because you're like looking like that, you know? And second, you can't ever focus. And if it's an action movie, you're dizzy, you know? 10 minutes in, you're dizzy because life is just wah, wah, wah right here. That's how we live most of the time. And we're just holding on, man. We got a front row seat, real life. And it's all out of focus. But in the stillness, when we stop and you get along with God and you listen to what he's saying, you know what? We see clearer. Life gets focused. Second thing that happens is this, is that we listen better. We listen better. If you're doing something else and somebody's talking to you, you're not listening. You're not listening. I just asked somebody a question last night and I said, hey, well, what did they say? And it was this long pause. And they said, I don't remember. I said, you don't remember? Weren't you there? Yeah, but I was thinking about something else. How many times when we're alone with God, we're just thinking about something else? He said, just be still and listen. Spend time with me. Life will come into focus. Here's the last thing, sixth thing, we'll wrap it up. It's transparency. This sounds kind of funny, to be honest with you. Because God knows us. All right, he knows us. But this is still a characteristic that we can't leave out. Because being genuine is best for any authentic relationship. It's always best. Especially relationship with God. You say, well, if God knows everything, why? What is it about being genuine? What does it mean to be transparent? It means to be honest. When we come to God and we present one reason for doing something, or we try to convince him this was really the reason we wanted to do it, and he knows all the while exactly what's going on in us. But if we're going to stay in Christ, you know, we're just going to have to be honest. Listen to this. Just think about this for a second. One of the things that will drive you out of that hole quicker than anything else is sin. Is sin. Just using our analogy, being like the tree, rooted, put in the ground. But when you got sin all over you, you know what the first thing you want to do is crawl out of that hole. I'm going to crawl out of that hole. I've received Christ. I'm getting on the grass because it's uncomfortable in here. Because I'm not really living for him. I'm not really digging deep in the ground, man. I'm reaching for the sky. It's blue. It's cool. But you just got to be honest. If you're honest and you're clean, you want to stay there. And we're not the first people to be like that. Listen to this, Psalm 32. David's writing. He says, blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, in whose spirit there is no deceit. He said, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me, and my strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. Do you get this picture? He's saying, you know what? I was coming before God, but I wasn't being honest. I wasn't being genuine. I wasn't being transparent. I was trying to cover up my own sin. I was gathering the pine straw up around the trunk, trying to hide who I really was before God. And when I was doing that, it was like something was just sapping my strength. It was like being in the heat of the summer, and it was just taking my strength away. I was just drying up. I was withering up. You know what he's saying? God, who knew everything about me, I was trying to make it like he didn't know anything about me. I wasn't being honest. But listen to verse 5. He says, then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Is that not good? David, King David, a man after God's own heart, he just said, you know what? I finally found out the secret to this. Staying in this hole, being rooted and built up, producing fruit, and being thankful. I'm just being transparent. I'm bringing my sin to God, and He is forgiving me, cleansing me, and growing me in His grace. Just be transparent. Now, let's bring this all the way back around. We looked at this word walk, and we said it really doesn't mean to travel. It really means to stay. It means to live, like living in your house. You know what? It's great to take a trip every once in a while, even a vacation like many of you have had in the summer. But there's a saying that we all embrace when we come home and lay in our own bed for the first time after a time away. And it simply says what? There's no place like home. Home for believers is Jesus. So let's live in Christ. Let's stand and pray. Father, we do love you today, and we thank you for your love and grace. And we thank you for the power and the authority of your word. We come before you, and we don't want to be anything but transparent right now. We know you know us better than we know ourselves, and you know everything about us. But we just want to be honest with you today, and we just want to come before you, and we just want to say, Lord, we want that. We want what's said in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. We want to walk in Christ, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith just as we are taught. And we want to abound with thanksgiving. That we want that life. So Lord, we just ask you today to make these six things reside in us so that we can grow and bear fruit, bring glory to your name, and display your glory to all the earth. So Lord, have your way in us. We give you praise today. In the name of Jesus, amen. Maybe